and that Howard's biggest issue was how does it manage its institutional expansion? How do you do that without trashing a neighborhood? We had a lot of vacant buildings. That was the single most difficult relationship we had with our neighbors. They were about sick of us with all 45 properties that we owned being vacant and boarded.
In LaJoy Park.
In LaJoy Park.
How did the university get a lot of those properties?
We bought them up as they came on the market. And the idea was, and we focused on two squares. The square in which you were living, I think it's 3080, and the square to the south of the university, 3079.
You know your squares pretty well.
I know my squares very well. I had to do the tax research on them. I had to identify all of the vacant properties because we were not the only ones who owned vacant properties. We were the largest single owner of vacant properties in the area. There were 130 of them, and we owned 45 of them.
Was the idea that Howard would expand?
The idea was that we were trying to expand the hospital. That when we built the hospital, it was probably a little too small for what we were going to need it for the next 25, 30 years. And we didn't have any expandability. We didn't have any scalability, with the exception of the front lawn. And all of us have been salivating over that front lawn for a while because we need the space. But what was happening at the time that we were buying up these properties is that healthcare and the manner in which it was being delivered had changed. So it's becoming more and more managed care at a time when we were buying properties with the idea of expanding the hospital. And we were not endearing ourselves to our neighbors because here were neighbors who were putting their investment in these homes. And if we were leaving our properties vacant and boarded and they were attracting people who were dealing drugs and all of that sort of thing, then, you know, we were endangering their investment. You know, we were bringing down the value of the neighborhood. We were marginalizing the neighborhood in a way that we didn't intend. This was a historic district, and it had historic value to African Americans. Mm-hmm. And so if there were any university that would be called upon to have a special sensitivity, Howard would be it. What we ended up deciding to do was return them to the residential inventory. We were not going to be able to use them for any institutional use, and the reason was because our very sophisticated neighbors had stopped that process by getting the local and the national designation as a historic district. So it wasn't going to be about our knocking stuff down and building institutional uses all over the city, all over the neighborhood. The neighbors had always reminded us that in the early days, many of our faculty and staff had lived in the neighborhood. And so maybe that's what we ought to be doing this time. And that's what we started doing, both with the help of Fannie Mae. And if I, you know, people getting on Fannie Mae, but Fannie Mae and the university worked together to begin to renovate the properties that were our properties, the Howard-owned properties. And then I worked with Dr. Rodney Green of the Center for Urban Progress to get the HUD monies, which we passed through to MANA and the People's Involvement Corporation and DC Habitat for Humanity, where we assisted them in the redevelopment of certain properties in the area. So we did something, I think, that helped us retrieve our credibility with our neighbors, because I don't think we would have been able to come back in 2011 with as robust a campus plan had we not, you know, some years earlier, really done what we needed to do for the right reasons. And I feel very good about having done that. The other thing that I feel good about is that this was not just a professional thing for me. The whole ability to reach out to neighbors and develop personal relationships was very important to me. You asked me some questions earlier